Hello, welcome to Brap Life. My name's Angel. Thank you guys so much for listening. I really, really appreciate the fact that you guys are here and that you're resonating with these stories. We have 24 countries listening, and it's absolutely incredible to get feedback from so many of them. I get messages all the time, and even this weekend at the Hard Enduro, people telling me this episode inspired them, this thing was really cool to learn about this person, and I absolutely love hearing that, and I know the people who I'm interviewing love getting that feedback as well. So please keep the messages coming, keep the nominations coming. I love getting those. It's so cool to be able to message somebody or talk to them and be like, hey, you were nominated for this podcast. And they get so excited. So keep it coming. And in the meantime, get ready to listen to this episode with Danny Lewis. He's a hard enduro pro who has kind of been through a lot in the last few years. He's been racing hard enduro for, I believe, 3 years now, and he has just been through so much. So his episode has been super, super inspiring to me. I hope you guys really like it, and I hope you guys resonate with it and really understand the strength that this guy has to come back from what he's been through to push as hard as he is in hard enduro. So, thank you guys again, and I'll see you next week. So we are officially recording. So thank you again so much for coming out here. I know it's kind of hard with like race season going on and everything, and you've been traveling a lot. So it's cool that our schedules were able to line up like this.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. This is my first pod ever, so this should be something really fun and different. Yeah, so it's going to be fun. I've listened to way too many podcasts, so to finally do one, it's like, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm honored to be able to share your story. This is really cool. Yeah. We were actually just talking about you a couple episodes ago. I was interviewing Sasha Vitale, and you came up because we were talking about the clinic and everything.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of cool that we were able to make this happen so quickly afterwards.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and get started with, how did you get into riding in the first place?
Yeah, it was pretty much just my parents. They were like, didn't really know what I liked. And then one day it was just motorcycles going past on the road, and I was like so into it. And then I liked riding like on the front of the bike with my dad and like on the quad and stuff. And like one day just CR50, I was like 3 or 4 maybe. And that is just kind of like addiction from there. So started with that. Then I started racing motocross. I think I raced motocross until I was, I'm going to say 11 or 12, just local stuff, nothing major. I wasn't very good. I was decent, but I was getting hurt a lot. So that was like a main problem. My mom's like, maybe this isn't a good idea. Like, you're hitting your head and it's like spending some time in the hospital. It's not worth it. So then we switched over to the GNCC stuff, and that ended up being like really, really good. I worked my way up. I started racing a local series called A-Works, just like local hair scramble, a little more technical than like the GNCCs now. Then started doing good in that. I ended up like working my way the whole way up through the youth class into like the pro amateur class and the adult class. And then from that point, it was like, all right, let's go try some GNCCs. Started racing GNCCs. Like, I was probably 16, 15, maybe 14, somewhere around there. I was in my teens for sure, young teens. Really liked it, but GNCC, it was just like a little bit too fast for me, I'd say. Especially at that age, I was still like, I'd say that I was scared a bit to go as fast as everyone wanted to go. Did that for a while. And then one day it was like, oh, let's go try Tough Like Roar. So then that happened, and then TKO happened. And I think my second year of racing TKO, I won the amateur overall and made it into the main event on Sunday. So like I raced Friday, won Friday, raced Saturday, won Saturday, and then I think I qualified like 14th or 15th on Sunday through. So I made it through all the races on Sunday, and then like I was so smoked. I remember that was like, oh, there's no way that I can do this every weekend. Like this is like the hardest thing I've ever done. But it ended up being like, got some recognition, and it was like, all right, this is definitely what I want to do. So here we are now, just racing hard enduro full time, pretty much.
That's
Pretty good.
awesome.
Yeah.
And so, how long ago was it that you did TKO and Roar? That was just a couple years ago.
Yeah, I remember I think 1 year before I raced TKO, I went and watched. And I think that was maybe I was 16. I remember you couldn't race TKO until you were 16 whenever I started. You like they were like, no, you can't, you have to be 16. So that year I didn't do it. And then the following year when I turned 16, so 4 years ago-ish, was when that happened.
Okay, so you haven't really been doing this that long, so.
No, not long at all. So it's kind of nice. I still feel like I have so much to learn.
That's
That's the best part. It's like there's a lot of room for growth.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like everybody says that. I'm friends with Graham Jarvis and he says the same thing. So there's always room to grow. There's always more to learn is what he's always saying. So
Yeah, for
I think
sure.
that's really cool.
Speaking of Graham, I forgot about this, but I did a clinic with him on an 85, and I think that's what
Oh,
really
really?
like kind of sparked the hard enduro thing. So
Okay, I was
I like
literally just about to
owe it to
ask you
Graham.
if you've ever done it.
Yeah. Yeah,
Awesome.
I owe the hard enduro to Graham. Or I'd still be racing GNCC
That's
probably.
really cool. Oh my God. Yeah, one of the things that I always like to know is like what kind of formal training or training in general that people get. Is it like you teach yourself and then you just answer that question. So good job. Have
That's
you
like
done any other clinics or was it just Graham's?
pretty much I think the only thing I ever did was Graham's. I did a Cody Webb clinic one time after Tough Like Roar 1 year, but I'm not, I don't I can bear I don't remember that very well. I was so whooped after the race. I don't think I think we just like went out and rode around a lot, but it was still fun. I can remember having fun.
That's good. Yeah, Roar is pretty intense.
Definitely,
I went and I spectated there last year. It was crazy.
I was like, I didn't race last year. I figured out I had Lyme, but yeah, I was watching the videos and I was like, I'm kind of happy I'm not there. Like seeing Cody like have to go to the hospital after, I'm like, oh my God, like that is
There
too
was
much.
a few people who had to actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
It
whenever
was
it gets that
intense.
bad, I don't know. I don't think it should ever be that bad. That's ridiculous. But
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how it is this year.
see if they toned it down at all. Because I think it was just a mixture of, they said they were making it harder, but then on top of that, it was just so hot and humid that day.
Yeah.
I was handing out water bottles left and right. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah. Well, the year before when I did it, I thought it was plenty hard for sure. And it was dry as a bone. Like, there was more, there was enough traction everywhere where you could do everything, but it was so, there was so much exposure that it was like the lines were just ridiculous. Like, I couldn't do them. Like, half the, like, there was no way I was going to ride everything. Like, it was most of the stuff. Like, yeah. I remember this one, the one section up at the top, it's called Nightmare. It was the first year they did that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember spending like an hour in there just like pushing my bike for an hour straight. It was like the most miserable I've ever been on a motorcycle.
That's crazy. Oh my God. So when you get into stuff like that, like what keeps you going when you're struggling through a section like that? Like, where does your mind go to like keep you pushing?
I think for me, it's just like, I don't think I could give up. Like, I don't think there's a point where like I could let myself give up. I don't really know what's going on, really. I'd say that I have no clue what I tell myself, honestly. Like, in the moment, you're just like, you're just there. You know what I mean? Like, you're gonna do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
So it's like, there's no giving up. That's not an option. Unless there's a mechanical failure or you're hurt. But I remember last year, or not last year, the year before at the one, the Sugarloaf race, the one after Roar. I was on my second lap and I crashed and I dislocated my collarbone. And I was like, it took everything for me. Like, the track workers had to like talk me out of keeping racing. I was just like, I didn't realize how much pain I was in, because all I wanted, like, I was just focused on like getting to the finish and racing. Cause it's like, you're like two different people whenever you're racing versus when you're just like hanging out or whatever. So like the mindset I have during the races, it doesn't matter. Nothing else matters, you know? It's just the task at hand is the only thing that matters.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's probably really what keeps me going. Yeah.
That's hardcore.
Yeah. It doesn't like thinking about it now, it's like, like, I definitely like shouldn't have even thought about doing, like, even trying to keep going. Like, it's like, it's so pointless. Like, even like if you have like a, like, not a major injury, but like, say you like hurt your knee or something and you're like laboring it, or your shoulder or something, you're only making it worse. Mm-hmm. And like, the result of the race isn't going to change whether you're hurt or not hurt. So it's better to just like preserve yourself, which I've learned that quite a lot, because I've definitely been probably the least fortunate with injuries over the past, injuries and just being sick over the past like 3 years, 4 years. So like, I think that's one side of the sport that I've learned to like mature and grow. Just, I know the consequences and I know what it takes to come back from those injuries. And it's not easy. It's the hardest thing in the sport, in my opinion. So yeah, just trying to like maintain my body is kind of, that's like top priority right now. I haven't had a full season in like probably 3 years. So if I could, and then this year my van is, had broken down like last week, or like it was like a month ago, but it's been in Indianapolis with my bikes in it and I couldn't go to Moab. So it's like every year something, but it's just one race. So I'm good to battle the goats and hopefully it goes a little better. Hopefully the van makes it down there. I still don't have the van yet, so who knows if it'll even get here.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so crazy.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That was just, I remember hearing about that. I was like, oh my goodness. Like, everybody was like saying how inspirational it is that you were able to just jump on somebody else's bike at Grinding Stone. And yeah. like, everybody was just like, that's so cool. And look at how well he did. So, like, that was really cool. But I know that that's not an ideal situation for you. Like, that had to be kind of rough.
Yeah, it was like, just, I wasn't planning on coming at all to Grinding Stone. And like, Ryder and Rich, James Mechanic, they were like, oh, you gotta come, like, you can ride James's practice bike. And I was like, oh, I don't know, like, that's gonna suck really bad, you know? But it was like, what, it's either go back home and sit there and watch the race happen, or like, be there and at least like try my best, you know what I mean? But it ended up, it was it was good. I mean, I was like really disappointed in myself, just because like, I know what I can do at that race, and then I go there and I'm like not comfortable at all, and like, I didn't ride it at all before, I didn't ride the bike at all before, and it was like, oh, it's just like, I knew that there's a possibility for me to do really good there. And it's like, if I didn't go, I wouldn't have done anything at all. But being there, it was like, oh, like, I'm missing like a huge opportunity right now. And like, I don't know. I'm happy that I went. There's no doubt about that. But it's just, I think it turned into like a mental thing for me, where it was like, oh, I just, like, I was like getting defeated during the race because I couldn't do what I wanted to do on the bike. But, oh well.
Yeah, that's another part of it, I think, for sure. Like, when things aren't going right outside of it. I mean, for me, when I'm on the bike, because of my level, it takes all of my focus and I cannot think about a single other thing. But I can totally understand when the bike isn't set up for you and you have no experience on it. I've also done that, where I've gone and I've been put on a bike that, I'm a small person too, I'm only 5 feet tall, and you know, being put on a full size two stroke when I was riding a 125 four stroke, it was night and day, and it was just absolutely insane. And like I said, with my skill level, it was just like, it was really scary. So I can't imagine though, like, the way that you guys have your bike set up is so precise for each one of you. Like, I cannot imagine having to go to somebody else's bike, and you guys aren't exactly like the same height or anything. So
we're literally on the complete, we're like, he's like up here and I'm like down here, like on the size spectrum. It's like, he's the biggest and I'm the smallest.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'7", 5'8" on a good day. Depends on how
I see.
How straight I'm standing.
I'm 5 feet, like, usually. I'm actually more like 4'11 and a half, but I like to say it's 5 feet. My driver's license says 5 feet, so.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's all that matters.
That's pretty accurate. I totally get it though. It's hard to get on somebody else's bike, especially when it's not set up for you and you're a smaller person. Like I said, for me, being so little, my own bike is too big for me, and that one's set up for me. So like, I can't imagine.
I know how you feel.
So tall.
Yeah, I definitely know how you feel. It's always been a battle, like, trying to get a bike that's like, I feel comfortable on, that's I don't know. I mean, in all reality, you just have to get used to what you're riding. I think that's a big thing that I express, is like you have people that are just, they change stuff over and over and over again, and like, they feel like they're never getting anywhere or whatever, because it doesn't feel great instantly, you know what I mean? Whereas I like to like keep things like really similar, and just, however, like, you know how it's going to react on everything because you've already ridden it on everything, you know what I mean? So if you're making a bunch of changes, like, it's going to do stuff differently. And I remember one time I was changing shocks a little bit as soon as I started with beta. And I remember I had one of the biggest crashes of my life, like right as soon as I changed a shock, just because it was so different. And I was like, oh, this thing, it feels so different. And I like it just like I hit something. I knew that I hit it, and it just totally like reacted way different than I was expecting, and it like bucked me, and I was going like 40 miles an hour, and I like got whiplash and hit my head and knocked myself out. And I was like, oh, like I that was kind of like an eye opener. Like maybe I should just like stick to one thing, because if I keep changing stuff, then like I'm gonna just get lost. You know what I mean? Like I'm not gonna know anything that works. Like it's just gonna be a guessing game the whole time. So I think, like, by all means, I'm not the best rider in the world. I'm pretty good, but I think that's like really important. It's like just trying to get used to something and then like making small changes from there. Motor, bike, like everything, like suspension mainly.
I think that's really important. I was really stubborn when I got my bike, and I was like, I'm gonna learn to ride it without having to lower it. And so for the first 10, 11 months that I had it, I rode it. I struggled so much. And then finally, but my thing was that, like, when I first started with the bike, every single time I was on it, my friends were making changes on it. They're like, oh, this will help you and that'll help you. And it's like you said, every single time I got on the bike, it was like a new bike because everything was different. And I was just like, okay, you guys, we need to stop because I need to figure out if I even work with the bike. Like, you can't change something after one time of me riding when we go out for like 10 minutes and that's it. Like,
Yeah, for sure.
it. So, yeah, I kind of stuck with everything being the same for a long time and just struggled through it. And then finally in December, I had a pretty big fall. And after that, I guess I just, like, I wanted a little bit more comfort and to hopefully not fall again. The height of the bike had nothing to do with my fall, which is hilarious, but it just triggered something in me to where I was like, I want to be more comfortable on the bike. I want to be able to not have this happen again, or, you know, because of the height and not being able to put my foot down. So then I finally just decided to lower it. So it's an inch lower now. It's still a little tall, but it's a lot better, and I'm able to put my foot down, and I'm figuring out, like, pivot turns and stuff. I haven't been able to do a pivot turn yet, but I can put my foot down enough to be able to try now. So I'm happy with it.
That's good. Yeah, definitely. Like I know, 'cause I'm short, and like the lower you can get the bike without like compromising other things, it's like it makes a huge difference. Like just like a little bit makes a huge difference. So yeah, that's
Yeah,
super good that you
definitely.
figured that out. Definitely something that I recommend to all short people is just trying to get that thing as low as you can. And if you have to lower it, you have to lower it, but like crank that sag down, like run a lot of sag. That's what I do. I don't run like extreme, but like I think running a low bike for a short person, just especially in hard enduro, like you have your feet down the whole time almost, it seems like, especially when you're racing, because you're just like you're tired and your feet are just hanging, and you're like, man, I remember before when I didn't really care that much, I would just run whatever. Like when I was back on Huskies, I would just, it was, I'd be sitting down. I'm like, man, I wish I just had like a little bit more just so I could like put my feet on things whenever I'm going through rocks and stuff. But it was high side, high side, high side all the time. And man, I was a little bit shorter than even I was probably 5'5" or 5'6". So to when I got on the beta mainly, I was like, oh, I can really lower this thing with the KYB shock. So it was like, oh yeah, like this is game changer for sure. Super excited about that.
That's I would absolutely kill to be 5'5". Like, I would be so excited to be 5'2". Like, 5'2" would make me so incredibly happy.
Yeah. Gotta get some, like, go down to Mexico and get some, like, chin extensions or something. Yeah.
It's a little bit expensive.
Yeah. Or just some, like, high heel boots or something.
Oh my god, there was a video that was like going around a few weeks back, and it was, yeah, somebody putting heels on to ride their dirt bike, and I got sent that legitimately like 30 times in a row, and I was like, you guys, I get it. Oh my god, stop.
Yeah, that's funny.
But
I definitely get made fun of.
It's, you know, it's something that, like, I didn't grow up riding bikes, and so when I got on a bike, that was something that I had to overcome. Even on my TTR, I mean, that bike, I was still tiptoeing on that bike. So I was always told that I would never get off of it, that I was going to be, I would never be on a full size bike. And I think it's just sheer willpower that's gotten me to where I am right now.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. If there's a will, there's a way. So.
Yeah, exactly. So you had mentioned earlier, and I if you're not willing to talk about it, that's fine. I can edit this out, but you had mentioned Lyme disease. Did you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I can talk about that. No problem.
Okay. Like what happened? How did you figure out that you were sick and all of that?
Yeah, this is like pretty unfortunate, but it was like, I think, not this last King of Motos, obviously, the King of Motos before, I was coming into that, and I was like, feeling really off. I kept getting sick. Like, my immune system was completely shot. Like, I knew that. Like, I knew that something was, like, a little bit off. Like, I got, like, double lung pneumonia, and I was getting a bunch of infections, like upper respiratory infection after, like, strep throat. It was like thing after thing after thing. And even right after King of Motos that year, we did the Burrow shoot in Utah, and it's a week long. Like, we do 4 or 5 days of filming. I remember being at that shoot, and Blake, the guy kind of organizes everything for Hard Enduro Burrows. He was like really keen on us getting all the shots and like getting out there super early and coming back late. And I remember thinking, like, this is like, I can't do it. Like, I just, like, we were getting up at like 7 o'clock eating and then going and riding for like 8 hours. And then, like, we'd eat lunch out in the desert, and then we'd keep riding, and then we'd come back, eat dinner, go to bed, ride the next day. 4 days in a row, it took everything I had to go and do that. It was like, there's like, I've done that before, where it's like, it's no problem. Like, it sucks, yeah, but like, I physically felt like I like couldn't get out of bed in the morning, and I was like totally miserable. And after that, I kept kind of like trying to push through it. Did grinding stone, didn't do too good at that. Just like really weak. Like, I started losing some weight. Things started feeling like extra hard to do. Just simple stuff. Like, I like to go fishing and stuff. And it was hard to like cast my fly rod, and like, it was hard to go golfing. I'm like, all right, like, something's really wrong. Like, I just keep getting worse and worse, and I'm still getting sick over and over and over again in this period of time. So it's been like 3 months that this has been happening. And then right before Battle of the Goats, I'm like, oh, I gotta figure something out. I started going to some doctors, and they're like, we don't know. I even got tested for Lyme from like a local doctor around here, and it came back negative. And I'm like, well, what the heck is going on? He's like doing pulmonary tests on me to see if, like, checking to see if I have diabetes, like all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, oh, Like, I hope this isn't like some sort of like crazy disease that's like gonna deteriorate until like pretty much I like die. You know what I mean? I was like super scared at this point in time. And finally, I got in contact with this doctor. His name's Corey King. Really like turned everything around for me. Got me tested for Lyme again, but it was a different test through like a third party, and it came back positive. And there were like he ran all kinds of blood tests on me. There was all kinds of stuff wrong with me. Like it's like a long list. Like heavy metal toxicity, and I had Epstein-Barr. I had everything. Like I was just like a total mess. So after that, like
Oh
yeah,
my
after I figured all the, well, I didn't figure that out. I raced Battle of the Goats last year. And
God.
yeah, it was just like I couldn't do it. Like this was before we figured everything out. Like I did like this gnarly IV right before the race that he told me to get, and it still like it didn't help at all. I did good in the qualifier because I got the IV like it was like a day before the qualifier, and then I just like used everything I had in the qualifier. I got like fourth or something, and then I got it took everything I had to just like do like half a lap on Sunday. So I was just like, all right, like I gotta like chill for the rest of the year. So yeah, it took like 5 months of like doing heavy treatment, just taking a bunch of like random medicines, like doing a bunch of vitamins that I wasn't taking before, and just like progressively I got better and better and better. And then I went and raced in Ohio at the end of the year last year. And it ended up like I felt the best that I'd felt on a bike in a long time, because I got my like originally I had Lyme's disease 6 years prior to whenever I got tested with that doctor. And like I went to the doctor and got medication, like the antibiotics for it and everything. And I thought I was just fine, but it ended up being like a parasitic infection, or it was like co-infections from Lyme disease is what I had. Which is like from what I understand, it's pretty hard to overcome, but like with the right doctor, it's been pretty good. Like I'm definitely still I don't think I wouldn't say that I'm 100% yet, but I'm pretty dang close. Just like everyday things, I feel a lot better. Mentally, I feel a lot better. Physically, it's just
Good.
way better. Like holy cow. Like I feel like in the
That's
gym, on
good.
the bike, everything's better. I just now all this other crap is happening. It's like I can't show what I've worked for in the last 8 months. So oh well, it'll come eventually. I'm not worried about
So
it.
you've been back training for about 8 months and just kind of like working back towards what you had before.
Yeah, pretty much. I would say it's more or less probably 5 or 6 months I've been training. But like before that, like I took like 6 months off as soon as I figured out what I had. I was like, all right, like this is like I'm just like causing a bunch of inflammation in my body, and my body wasn't recovering. If I went and did something, it would take like if I would go ride and do like a normal training day in the morning whenever I first got diagnosed, it would take me a week and a half to be like, all right, I think I can go do that again. And where it's now, it's like I can do that day back to back to back, where I don't feel like whooped. So that's really nice.
I think that goes back to what you had said earlier about maturing enough to know that you need to take care of yourself that way, because that's something that I think a lot of us get really into our heads when we have some goal. You know, it's go, 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 go. And there's something to be said about discipline for sure. But when something is that off, you definitely have to take care of your body. And that's not just like born out of laziness. You know, I think there's a huge difference. That's something that, like you said, it's hard to come back from stuff like that. That's That's a lot of stuff that you were dealing with.
Yeah. Like you don't want to take the time off ever, because especially me, like I said, I know what it takes to come back from it. And it's way worse than like anything else. Like I would, like in my head, I would be like, oh, I'll just push through it, whatever. But like now it's like, now you're just going to make it worse. Like you're never going to be better than you are now if you just keep going at this level. So it's definitely better to just say, all right, like this is the deck, these are the cards I'm dealt, so this is how it's going to be. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Like you just got to tell yourself that, it's it. Like you got to deal with it.
I think that's really, really important. And that's something that we don't hear a lot of, because like, thankfully there's not a ton of really crazy injuries and things like that we've heard about on this podcast. But I think that's definitely something to highlight, because we do talk about discipline and mindset a lot, but that's a different kind of discipline, is to make yourself sit still when you're not somebody who's used to doing that.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely very important.
So going into your training, now that you're back to it, what does training look like for you? And what does nutrition look like for you, especially now that you've got like all of this stuff that you've been working on? You said you've been taking vitamins. So that's a kind of supplementation is really important. But what does that look like for you?
So with the Lyme, one of the big things that my doctor prescribed to me was my diet. Which before I was eating terrible, you know, just whatever I could eat, I was going to eat it, you know. And now it's, I still want to eat everything, but it's like, you got to pick the best option, you know what I mean? Like calories are still important, but you got to get useful calories. Whether you're eating McDonald's or Wendy's every day, it's like it's calories, whatever. Like you might gain some weight from it, but your body's not using that in a positive form. Like maybe if you just got done doing something really big, like you just got done at a race or something, like you go and you have your Dairy Queen ice cream or whatever. But like during the week, it's just like I'm focused on like anti-inflammatory foods. I'm eating a lot of protein. Like I try to weigh out the amount of protein to the amount of sugars in an item. So say like something has like 20 grams of sugar or 20 grams of protein, like if that protein is higher than the sugar, it's good. You know what I mean? And I try to stay away from added sugar. I mean, you got to get your sugars in somehow every once in a while. Like I have like fruits, like eat some yogurt here and there with a little bit of sugar in it and some honey, you know, but the main thing is just like trying to get rid of that processed stuff that's causes a lot of inflammation in your body, which like doesn't make you recover fully. That's been a huge help for me. Like going to the gym and stuff, you get done at the gym, like creatine right after, and then your protein, and then you go home and eat something good instead of like getting done at the gym, like drink a soda and then go to McDonald's and get your little triple decker burger or whatever. So you know, it's way better to just like, if you're gonna go to the gym, you might as well take full advantage of it, you know what I mean? Like don't go and waste it. Like go drink like 10 beers after it, you're just gonna waste it, you know what I mean? Like no matter what you're doing. So just like taking full, just being responsible about what you're doing instead of like saying, ah, screw it. Like you might as well, like you're here, you're already halfway there. You might as well just do the little extra step that's going to help you tomorrow or the next day. So that's something that I focus on. If I'm going to go to the gym today, I'm going to do everything after to make it good. So I don't wake up tomorrow morning and I'm like, my legs are so cramped up that I can't get out of bed and I fall on the floor, you know? So, I mean, that never really happens, but I mean, you know what it's like to wake up with four legs and you're like, can't sit on the toilet and you're like, oh my God, like this is the worst. So just like taking full advantage of what your body gives you and what you can put into your body to make it feel like you're not destroying it whenever you go to the gym or you have a huge day on the bike. So recovery, that's one of the main things that I focus on. Like I see a lot of athletes where they don't focus on recovery and they end up like digging themselves in a huge hole. And it's like, you don't really need to do as much as you're doing. Like there's a happy medium for sure with everything. Like if you do too much, then you're always going to be tired. If you don't do enough, then you're never going to grow. So it's like finding that medium, which I think it's different for everyone. So like if I were to tell you what I did every week, it would probably help, but if you did exactly what I did, it wouldn't be the same results. You know what I mean? Everyone's different. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I always talk about this on here because we have a lot of people who listen who don't actually ride dirt bikes. A lot of the times it ends up being like family or friends, you know, who are just kind of trying to hear a little bit more about the person that they know. But yeah, I think it's really important to highlight that because those people don't always know. We have a lot of people who've really tried to start eating healthier, who've tried to start cutting out processed foods because they've been listening to this and we talk about it all the time. All the racers always talk about cutting out processed foods and nobody's specifically stated inflammation yet though. I resonate with that because I had gotten sick. Probably about 4 or 5 years ago now, and I was essentially bedridden, and I was on a low inflammation diet, so it was like I could pretty much just have brown rice and veggies and then some chicken, and that was like pretty much my diet for like 6 months straight. It was kind of crazy, but I had so much inflammation in my body because I was so sick. So I completely understand that. And coming back from that, I mean, I wasn't really an athlete before that. I didn't, I barely rode dirt bike before that. And since that was when I was like, okay, I've been down. I know what it's like to not be able to do anything with my body. What happens now, once I got better, once I got to a specific point, this isn't right away. What happens now if I can use my body to the best of its ability, which I had never done before. And since then, my life is completely transformed because I put that energy into riding, obviously, but I also put that energy into running. And I can run ridiculous distances now for absolutely no reason other than I think it's fun. But the longest that I've run now is... Most people don't, but I've found it's like a total mindset thing. So for me, it's been really good training for getting into hard enduro because it's like you get to the point where you're like 15 miles in and you're like, okay, do I really need to be doing this? Well, I was training for an ultra marathon. I had a plan to actually do a race, but it didn't work out because the hurricane happened in Tennessee and it wiped out the trails. So it got canceled. Yeah. But I've kept up with it. I don't quite run like all of that all the time like I used to, but I can still go out and do 25, 30 miles. And, you know, it takes a while, but it's you really have to focus your mind and just keep pushing forward. And I think that building that discipline has really, really helped with my riding because I get myself into some hairy situations sometimes. I ride with people who are a lot better than me. And, you know, I don't like to quit because of that. Like, I'm just going to keep going and keep going. Like you said, unless there's injury, or something's really wrong with the bike, I haven't really, I don't like to turn around on the trail. I've learned now that there are limits, that the guys that I'm riding with, are way better than me to the point where they're all like A riders and pros and stuff like that. And I'm like, I can't do the things that you guys are doing. But it's taught me a lot and it's been a quite a journey to come back from, you know, essentially being bedridden, which it's not a lot of people experience being that sick and coming back from it. So I think it's super inspiring to hear you talk about it.
Yeah, definitely. Like food, like it's crazy. It's crazy what your body reacts to. And like recently I've been adding more stuff in, and like every once in a while I'll eat something and it's like, I don't like that anymore. You know what I mean? Like I'll just wake up the next day and I'll be like, something's not right. I'm not going to eat that again. You know what I mean? It's like, now that my body's not trained to eat poison all the time, it's like my body can recognize poison. So
like, yes,
I'll pretty much eat whatever now, but if I feel like crap the next day or whatever, it's like, all right, like that doesn't work for me, so I'm not going to eat that. But if I feel great after I eat something, it's like, all right, well, I can eat that more now. Like I introduced like dairy and stuff back in. Like I for like my diet when I started, it was just like there was no, it was just like meat and vegetables and like some fruits and berries and like no seeds, no butters, no, like all I was allowed was like avocado oil. I wasn't allowed olive oil or a bunch of other stuff, just like weird stuff that like like tomatoes, like who would have thought like tomatoes are like a little bit inflammatory, you know what I mean? You like you don't learn that stuff until like you need to know it. So to like learn all that, even though it was in kind of a shitty situation, it was like, well, now I know, like it's something that's always going to be there with me for the rest of my life. So if I ever do like start feeling sick again or something, like I know to expect, I know how to overcome it. I know what my body can do. I know how it reacts to different things. So I don't know. I think the best way to look at something like being sick, like you were, is just like you learn from it. You know what I mean? You grew from it. You're going to be a better person from it. So.
Yeah. Definitely. I feel like for me personally, it lit a fire for me. You know, it showed me that I need to do what I can do with my body while I can, because that had come on so suddenly for me. It wasn't like I was like progressively getting sick. It was very like I was fine. I was literally hiking in the mountains one day, and then an hour later, I'm doubled over on the floor of the car. I can't stand up because I'm just having so much pain. So and that continued for a year. And it was really hard, but it was a huge change for me. And it changed the course of my entire life. And I think, you know, eventually you'll probably see something similar, that it's really changed a lot for you. But food can be an amazing fuel source, but that's what it needs to be. Food needs to be fuel, and not like a lot of people eat for emotion. And exactly. So like I think that's a very cultural thing for us.
I don't like, I get like eating for enjoyment and like being like, oh, that's really good. Like I'm just gonna, but you can't be like, I'm gonna eat that all the time. Like you maybe have like one day every 2 weeks or something, you're like, I really want that, so I'm gonna go get it. You know what I mean? Like I'll have a day every now and again where I'm like, oh, like I could really go for some like chicken wings right now or something, like smothered in barbecue sauce or something. It's like, ah, like you gotta do it. But like whenever it turns into every day, you're eating terrible things, and it's like you can feel the effects from it, then that's when you should be like, all right, like maybe not. Like you're seeing the effects, you're feeling the effects, you're like, all right, like you got to know when enough is enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I totally resonate with that. This is awesome. It's terrible that you were sick, don't get me wrong, but it's really cool that we can like connect about this. Like, and I think it's going to teach a lot of people. Because like I said, a lot of people end up getting in the mindset, and I'm guilty of it myself, that you should just go all the time. And I've only recently started remembering how important it is to have rest. And I have a really great group of people around me who are constantly like, hey, you're doing too much. Take some time. Yeah. Go to sleep. Yeah. Like, you don't need to do everything in one day. And it's like, okay, cool. Yeah. Like, let's get back to that healthy. That's because that's a healthy mindset too, right?
Yeah.
It's go, go, go is unhealthy, but also not do anything is unhealthy. So it's like you said, the balance.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of factors for sure. Like, stress is a huge thing. Like, I feel like always, my entire life, it's like, oh, stress is like, I didn't really care about it. But over like the past year or so, like, I've been able to notice, like, if I'm really stressed out, I'm just like, I'm not there mentally, physically. Like, I just like, I don't know. It just affects me so much where it's like, if I go into a weekend, like, super stressed about something, like, outside of racing, it'll affect me. Like, there's no avoiding it. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
I think that's something that I'm definitely trying to learn right now, is just like how to deal with that stress whenever it's there, and how to use it in my advantage, instead of like, I'll like dwell on things, you know, and it's like, oh, like you, and I tell myself in the back of my head that I don't need to, like, you, it's going to be fine all the time, but like, there's always something to worry about. And I think that I'm kind of in the learning stages of that, of just trying to figure out what the best thing to do is whenever you're stressed, and like going into a race weekend or kind of anything, just trying to overcome that and like be a better person from it, instead of like letting it drag you down and everyone around you down.
Yeah. No, I think that's really great. It's a really positive way to try and figure things out and try and move forward. It's a great, great growth mindset. I love that. This is a really inspiring conversation. I love this.
Yeah.
You
have hardships. Okay. It's like, all you have is inspiring things to think about. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. So you said you're going to be at Battle of the Goats. Are you pretty excited for that?
Yeah. Battle of the Goats. It's probably my favorite race of the year. I love the terrain. I'm super good in the hills. I'm from the East Coast, so like, if it's a little bit wet, I never mind. So I think that really like requires a specific set of skills, which I have, where the West Coast provides the complete opposite with all the traction. So I think this weekend it's going to be hard for sure, this upcoming weekend, but I think that even with me not riding for the past 3 or 4 weeks, I've been spending time on e-bikes and spending time on in the gym. I've been doing other stuff, you know. I think that I'll still be able to do as good as I can do, you know. There's always a little bit more, but I know that I'll try my best and hopefully surprise myself a little bit, because I'm not going into this with any expectations. I don't think anyone's really expecting anything from me, just given my circumstances right now. But that never like changes how I want to do, you know. I mean, like, I know what I'm capable of. I know what I can do. I'm always dealt with these hardships that, like, totally, like, it feels like they screw me over. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to be, like, in a consistent space where I can just keep growing. But I feel like that never happens for me.
Yeah.
But this weekend, I'm just trying this happens, but as long as I try my best and ride to my full ability, I think that it should be good.
Good. That's great. I think you're going in with a really good mindset about it. I'm going into that weekend extremely nervous because this is my first hard enduro, and I'm like freaking out a little bit.
Yeah.
It just, you know, it probably will never be a point where I feel like I'm ready, but I definitely don't feel ready.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go into it and I'm going to experience it. And whatever the outcome is, you know, it'll be a learning experience. So
yeah.
I'm excited, but nervous. So, yeah.
Well, I'm definitely nervous too. I get nervous before every race. Definitely.
Do like, you still?
Really
oh
nervous.
My gosh. Okay.
Yeah. Like before the race, like can't eat, like terrible. Like I'll be like,
really?
This is a good, yeah, this is a good example. I think it was 2 days ago. I was just like thinking about racing, like thinking about racing Battle of the Goats. Mm-hmm. Like I get this like overwhelming feeling of like really nervousness, and I feel like I'm gonna puke, like just thinking about it. So. Like you can imagine how bad it is. Like 10 minutes before the race, like I try so hard to like keep my cool, and I'm pretty good at it. But like, I think everyone's feeling the same thing. You know what I mean? Like you're just like you're so amped up, mm-hmm. and like you do all this prep work, and you're like on the line, and you're like, oh, like this is about to happen. But like as soon as that flag drops, it's like, yeah, you're in. You know what I mean? Like it's totally has gone away.
Yeah.
Which I don't like really know how that makes
you're
sense.
Ready to go.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me. Like, you think it would like taper off a little bit or something, but it's just like gone.
That's crazy. It's something about racing, and you guys at the top are all like, I've heard it multiple times where like you're super nervous, but as soon as you go, like it goes away. And I've only done a couple races. Like I've done a hair scramble and like two enduros. And, mm-hmm. but that's how it's been for me every time. I'm super, super nervous. But as soon as like we're able to go, I'm just focusing on, well, for me, it's not getting run over. but you know, and then just trying to make it through and like, just do what I went there to do. I'm not at a competitive level at all. Yeah. So like for me it's just like I said, don't get run over and don't get hurt and just try and make it through the course. But it's kind of I kind of understand that because at my level I should just be like super nervous through the whole thing. But
yeah.
Thankfully it goes away. And then I'm able to focus and go ahead.
Yeah. I think that Battle of the Goats will be like, it's a way different experience on the course than an enduro or like a GNCC or a hair scramble or whatever. Like, I feel like it's more of like everyone's fighting to just get around the course. You know what I mean? Instead of people like fighting over position, and like especially like I see it whenever I'm coming up on lappers. People are pulling each other up, you know, they're laughing. Every once in a while you come across one that's like yelling and mad and like gets in your face just because you're telling them to move or stuff like that. But for the most part, everyone's like just stoked to be there. Like no one's like, just because like you're really out on a like a hard trail ride with a bunch of people. So I think that, this being your first one, I think that you're really going to like it, especially Battle of the Goats, the Saturday race. That course is always really, really fun. Nothing like too crazy hard. There's definitely a couple things that are like a little bit hard, but like everything's doable. You know what I mean? There's nothing that's like you look at it and you're like, oh, like that's like I don't want to do that at all. Like, you know what I mean? I think that you're going to have lots of fun.
I'm really excited. I watched it last year and I just like it was so cool, and I don't know what it triggered in me to be like, oh yeah, that's the one that I'm gonna do out of all the ones that I watched. But I had a friend trying to convince me to do King of the Motos this year, and I was like, are you really my friend actually? Because I went to that race this year and I was like, that's gnarly. Like no. The exposure at that race is insane. Mm-hmm. And I'm not that great with exposure right now. I'm working on it, but I rode at Brushy a lot over the last year, and like I feel pretty comfortable. I know how crazy some of the stuff can be out there, so I feel like I know what I'm in for, sort of, even though I probably really don't know. Like, I don't know what the course, what's on the course, but I know, I know how scary things can look out there. So the visual intimidation isn't as bad there for me as it is like out here. When I go to California, some of the stuff the boys take me on is just like, oh my God, what are we doing? We were in Jawbone Canyon and they took me, we were going up and I was like, totally fine. And we get to the top and it's a ridge and it's like a spine. It's single track on a spine, and like a cliff this way, a cliff this way. And I was like, what are you guys doing to me? So like, you don't have that at Brushy. I mean, you definitely have spots you can fall. There's some gnarly stuff that you can, I have fallen there, but yeah, it was just where I felt most comfortable. I think even though it's one of the harder ones, everybody seems to like it. And yeah, I think it'll be fun. You know, type two fun. It'll be fun after the fact, maybe not during, but I also have a habit of thinking that hard things are fun. So that's what I always tell myself when I'm in a hard situation. I just tell myself I do hard things for fun repeatedly. Just keep saying that to myself. And it's just my reminder that like I picked this, like I'm pushing myself to do this. Like nobody told me I had to be here, but I have goals and things that I want to do. And hard enduro has been one of the things that I've wanted to do for like 10 years when I saw Erzberg. So like the fact that I'm finally doing it, it's huge for me.
Yeah, that's super awesome. Yeah. I don't think you could have picked a better race, honestly, especially if you've been riding there. I think way less consequential than, like you said, King of Motos or like Grinding Stone or something, like where the exposure is like a little bit too much. You know what I mean? Like even for me, I think for everyone, I'm not just speaking for myself when I say this, that some of the races are scary. You know, like Grinding Stone, it is scary. I don't care who you are. You can be Cody Webb. Yeah. You can be Tristan Hart. It's scary. You know what I mean? Whereas this race, Battle of the Goats, I wouldn't say it's scary at all. You know, it's more of just, there's some scary lines, you know, there's some big faces. There's some like Wenzel's water slide. That's a little bit scary, you know, but the consequences of that, of Wenzel's water slide versus sliding down like high dive or something at Grinding Stone. Like, it's like on two different spectrums, you know what I mean? So,
I definitely think that there's gnarliness to it. Cause I mean, it is hard enduro, but it's different East Coast. And that's where I've done most of my riding was East Coast. I've only been back West for like 3-4 months. And so it's been a change trying to ride out here versus East. And it's like learning how to ride all over again. But that was where I felt most comfortable. So I'm really excited and I have a lot of support out there. So it's going to be really cool. What's your least favorite race to do that you've done so far?
My least favorite, I wouldn't say that I dislike any of them, but I think for me and how I ride, I would say that King of Motos is probably the worst race for me. Just the chundery, like nonstop, like sort of high speed, like wish wash, like just like bounce all around stuff. Like I'm not very good at that. I don't know if it's just like I feel like if that was in dirt, like on the East Coast, I would be fine. But there's something to do with like the sand and I don't know. It just messes with me. And you got all that big chunder, and I feel like I have like no control over like what I feel like I want to be doing on the bike versus on the East Coast. Like if I see something, I can pretty much like do it on command without like I don't have to go look at it. I don't have to go ride it. I like it's just like I can be going down single track and like something pops up, whatever, and I'm already past it. Like it's just like second nature for me to ride on the East Coast and do it fast rather than if I'm on the West Coast, like I feel like I second think like everything. Like I'll look at something, I'll be like, oh, you know, like that might like I don't really know how to do that, you know. But on the East, it's like if I look at something, there's and I feel confident about it, I'm probably gonna go up it. Like there's no questions.
How was that like when you did the hard enduro bros thing? How did you have that same kind of feeling when you were trying to hit some of that stuff? Like, you guys did some gnarly stuff for that.
Yeah, for the Burroughs stuff, definitely like where we film in Utah, it's definitely like there's a lot of trials, the like big moves, and that really like that doesn't suit me at all. Like I definitely like I'll watch Cody and Tristan do stuff and I'm like, are you Mike? Like that's like I'm not even gonna try that. Like half the stuff they do, it's like I'm gonna destroy my bike and then break myself. And it's like you guys can like keep doing that. Like I'll go like find a hill climb or something, like or like find like a smaller rock that I can just ride over or something. But whenever they're doing those big splatters and stuff, it's like, oh, I'd rather not. You know what I mean? Like I want to preserve my body for another day.
It seems like it was really well received though. Like all of those episodes that they put out. I mean, I feel personally that hard enduro has needed more media attention, and I think that they did a really good job. As hard as it was for you guys, because I've heard some grueling days, like you said, like you guys had long days to try and get the shots, and you only have so much time. It's not like you guys can go out for like a month. You have a limited time that you can do things. So to try and get everything that you need for him to be able to put it all together, that's hard. But it's turned out looking really cool, and everyone I know is just like, this is the coolest thing ever. And it seems like it's been inspiring a lot of people to try stuff. And so I think it's really cool. And it was awesome to see you participating in it.
Yeah, it's very fun. Like hard enduro burros. Like whenever Blake presented me the idea, I was like, I was in right off the get go. I was like, yeah, what do I need to do? Like, let's get everyone in on this. Like, this is gonna be good for everyone. Like, I want to do as much as I can to help you, Blake. Like, let's do this like now. And like, sure enough, it was like 6 months later. He's like, all right, we're all shooting in Utah, like who's in? And I'm like, yeah, like this is awesome. Like finally, like something that like shows like what we actually do, like where as if we're racing, you know, we're like sitting on our seats, like doggy paddling, like not doing anything cool, just like so for him to go out and like capture like what. I ride with Ryder all the time. So like he lives like 40 minutes from me. So like to have like someone capture like what me and Ryder would go normally do like any day. Like I think that that is like that's so cool. Like there's you're not gonna get another sport where you have your guys going out training and there's a guy filming it and it's like the training is just fun, you know what I mean? It's not like we're not going out lifting weights, you know, we're going out, we're free riding, we're trying stuff, just we're trying to get better, you know. Where in other sports, the only way to get better is to like push yourself through like hardships and just like be seems like be miserable all the time, you know what I mean? There's nothing that's like for us, the training experience is a lot different. Like you have to have those long days on the bike to replicate what you're going to be doing in a race. Which obviously we all definitely still do the crappy part of training, like cycling and stuff like that. And it's none of it's crappy, I would say, but it's just like less exciting, a little bit more boring, just like I gotta do this, but like I would rather be riding, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I think that was really cool that you guys had that opportunity. That Blake's been doing this, and it's epic to watch. I mean, I know there's so much that goes into it. It's absolutely incredible to watch it. And I was actually talking to Max Gersten this weekend. And I was telling him, because I hurt my arm and my arm was like bleeding, and I was talking to him about it. I was showing him what I did to hurt my arm, and I was like, yeah, I was trying to be like, you know, hardened or a burrow. So I was like, but I'm like a baby burrow. So like I'm taking the baby lines, and he started laughing and he's like, oh my God, that's great. And he goes, you're like a baby lady burrow. And I was like, yeah, exactly.
That's such a mad thing to say. That's so funny.
Right.
Yeah. It was great. I can see him like saying that right now. Yeah.
It's so funny, but I think that like you were talking about, it's a testament to hard enduro and the community around it. You guys are all top riders, you guys are all competitors, and you guys are out there having fun with each other. Yes, you're competitive, but like you guys still get along. Like we talked about this at the beginning, like it's not cutthroat like it is in other disciplines, and I think that that's really cool. And it's cool how everybody knows each other, like, and hangs out, rides. Like, I know that there's some of the pros that like stay with each other when they go to the different coasts and stuff like that. And like, you don't have that in a lot of disciplines. And I think that that's really, really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely pretty awesome. Like, I'd say, like, obviously, like, some people don't like some people, whatever. But like, whenever we're all together, it's always like we feel like we're family, you know what I mean? Like we only have each other, we're all trying to grow the sport. So like whenever you have someone that's like kind of just there, like not trying to grow the sport, and they're just trying to like suck everything out of the sport, that's whenever you get like kind of like passive aggressive towards someone or whatever, which we don't get that, you know what I mean? Like, we're all just, I can't think of one person that's like, if you told them like, hey, like, do you want this sport to grow? None of them would say no, you know what I mean? Like, everyone wants it to get better, because it can only get better for us, you know, if we're like planning on doing this for the rest of our lives, you know what I mean? So I think definitely we could do a better job, you know, but, I think that, like, what Cody's doing right now, he's brought a lot of new eyes to the sport in the last couple of years, especially with the Yamaha deal. Like, having him stay around and just, like, he promotes the sport, promotes the series, that's super great.
Yeah.
Just, I think that's, like, one of the key parts in the last year or two of growing the US Hard Enduro series.
Yeah, definitely. I think that that's been huge. Like I said, I think the media presence has also gotten a lot better. You know, there's amazing recaps of races, there's everything Max does, you know, his camera stuff and the follow cam, which is incredible. All the photography that happens, and just any media that we can get on it, I think can really, really help. But that's just my personal opinion. I've only been around this for about a year. So how do you feel about it? Like, what do you think it takes to grow hard enduro other than what you said already?
Yeah, I think definitely media. There's a lot of things that go into it for sure. I wouldn't say that I know like exactly what to do to make it grow, or I would be doing it, you know what I mean? So
Yeah.
I think we're doing as good as we can right now. There's some little things here and there that it's like, we could probably do that differently, but you know, that's not my call to make ever. So I think that right now, compared to what it was 3 years ago, I think we're on a major uptrend. So as long as it keeps going like this and everyone stays committed and we can just keep plugging along, I think that in 10 years from now, maybe, I think that we'll look back and say, wow, I can't believe like how far that it's actually come. I think getting all the promoters and all the races like on the same page with each other, instead of it being like, we don't even know what races we're going to have next year, or blah, blah, blah. Like, if you look at Supercross, you know, they know what they're going to do like a year before it even happens. Where us, it's like, we're just, we kind of don't know because it's like everyone's so distant, you know, like the East Coast rounds and the West Coast rounds. Like, you only have, you have a middleman, which is the promoter of the series. Yeah. Like, you, and it's hard for like it all to come together perfectly. Like in years past, we've had Donner get canceled and people complain about it, blah blah blah, and it's like you just gotta deal with it, you know, for now, until like we get better structure and like the promoters can figure stuff out and the race court, like all the races, if they could all come together and come together with like the same format. Of course, like different races are gonna need different formats, but I think like all the East Coast rounds should be similar format and all the West Coast rounds should be similar format. I think that that would really help. Just like Grinding Stone, they're killing it, absolutely killing it. Spectating wise, you can see everything. Media wise, you can get everything. You have good day for the amateurs, where the amateurs get all the bang for their buck. You know, that's what brings people in that aren't pros that just want to ride, you know. If they know that they can come and they can ride their bike around the course and have a fun time, then they're gonna come. But if you get races where it's like you have a qualifier that's like, say, who knows, like an hour long on Saturday, like you get amateurs out there for 2 hours or whatever, say it's a 2 hour cutoff, they're gonna feel like they didn't get anything out of it, you know what I mean? Whereas like you have like two races for the amateurs and the pros race, that then you're getting qualifying for us and they're getting everything that they would want out of whatever most of the race entries are, like $200. Like, that's really expensive. Yeah. Like, people aren't going to come to race their dirt bike for an hour for $200. So, I think that it's definitely getting better compared to years past, but there's always room for improvement. There's always room for growth. And I think that we'll see that in the near future. But like I said, it's not my decision to make. And I'm definitely not the person to be making decisions for the series, definitely. Or it would probably go downhill pretty quick.
It's just a good conversation. It's just cool to talk about, because like I said, I mean, I have my own opinions on what we need to do or what they need to do, you know, just to grow the sport. But I'm doing what I can too. But look at you, you're doing clinics and stuff, and I think that that's really cool to see that you're going to be doing this clinic. What is it, 4th of July weekend out in Ohio?
Yeah, July 3rd. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'm going to, really, I definitely, really cool. I'm going to, I have a couple more in the works too. So I want to get into that side of things. I really enjoy it. I've done a couple so far. I've done a couple one-on-ones. I don't know. It gets me out riding. I enjoy it. The people are always friendly, you know what I mean? You're not dealing with moto kids, and like some of them are like just like you got dealing with the parents, you know? Like, I feel like everyone's just like everyone's on the same page. So, like, you come to the class and you're coming there to learn, and I'm probably gonna learn something too, you know what I mean? So it's really just like we go out, we ride, I tell you what I think, and maybe like you're having trouble with something, I can help you out as much as I can. Maybe like I'll see you do something, I'm like, oh, maybe I should like try to do that, you know what I mean? Like there's always room for growth, even for me, because I've had multiple times where like I've been riding with people that are in B class or C class, and I see them do something and I'm like, oh, like I can learn from that, you know what I mean? Whether it's they make a mistake and they make it obvious of like maybe it's a smaller mistake for me, but it's the same cause, you know what I mean? And I can see that and realize that I can fix that now because I can see it in someone else. And I've
And then
definitely
you're
had a
like
few
conscious of
instances
it.
like that. Yeah, you're like, oh, like that makes sense now. Now that I'm explaining it to you and I'm not just like thinking about it, like I'm actually like teaching myself too. I definitely I've had a couple experiences like that. It's like, well, why don't I tell myself this? You know what I mean? Like I know this is what I need to do, but like now that I'm telling you that, I'm like, maybe I should do that because it'll make me better too. So, yeah.
I love that though. Like, I love that you're so humble about it and you're not pretending like you know everything, which is
Yeah.
great. But it's really cool to see that you're out there trying to help, trying to build confidence and build up the community. That's it's a huge thing. And I know that for like for women to go out and do hard enduro is really intimidating. To go out and ride dirt bikes a lot of the time is really intimidating. A lot of the things that we go through are very different experiences than what guys go through when they start riding. So, it's a big thing for me has been clinics, has been taking clinics and learning how to do things the proper way. And a lot of women are the same way. They want to know how to do things correctly because a lot of us get thrown on a bike and we're told, here's your clutch, here's your brake, go. And we're like, wait, what do I do with these though? Like, no, just go, just go, just make it sound like this. And it's like, I don't know how to do that. Like, I don't just like it's not an intuitive thing. So I need to know what to do. So clinics are huge, like I said, for women. So even though it's not like a women's specific clinic that you're doing, I still feel like a lot of women benefit from stuff like that. So I'll be really interested to see how many women show up at your clinic. And hopefully, just in general, I hope it's successful because I think it's really great what you're doing. I love seeing people learn and I love promoting clinics because that's my opinion, the best way to kind of help everybody grow and like
Yeah,
level
for
up.
sure. Yeah, for sure. Like when I'm doing a clinic, like I can see the growth from people from the time we start to the time we finish, for sure. Just because of little things that they have no clue about. You know what I mean? Like say like you're doing a pivot turn or whatever, and you're just like staying over the front and you're like dumping the clutch or whatever. Like there's always an easier way to do something. I see that a lot in a lot of people is they're doing it, but they're doing it the hardest way they possibly can. Like just like making things so hard for themselves. And I find that I've had to learn to do things definitely the hard way. Because I don't have the strength that some of the other riders do and the height. So I think that I have a different perspective than say like James Flynn or like Brandon Petrie. Just because they have a little bit more lenience with their riding. They can rely on their body a little bit more. Whereas I have to be a little bit more particular with what I do and just try to make things as easy as possible. so that I can keep up with those guys whenever they're pushing their bike or whatever. Maybe I'm doing something a little bit different to conserve some energy. So I think that that translates really well into me teaching, because I can kind of enhance things a little bit rather than just telling you to do a pivot turn. You got to lean back and dump the clutch and turn the bike around. Like, there's a bunch of little tiny things that you can adjust to be like, oh, like if I do this just a little bit different, this is going to like make it feel like I've done this before almost. You know what I mean? So I think moving forward, I really want to do a lot more clinics. I'm just kind of dabbing into it right now. Just, I want to do a couple more before I'm like, all right, this is definitely what I want to do for some income, you know, and maybe later in life, like this is what I end up doing. But I really like the idea of it. I like the community. It's growing. I think that I can be a huge help to a lot of people. I think a lot of people need help for sure. And it's exciting, you know. It's definitely exciting.
Yeah.
Just knowing that there's room for growth.
Yeah. I love to, like I said, I'm a nerd, so when it comes to technique, I want to learn all of it. So I'm always happy to help promote clinics and to see clinics happening. It's the coolest. But yeah, it'll be awesome. I'm really hoping I can get out there for it. I haven't quite secured it yet. I'm still figuring out my budget, what it's going to look like after I come back from Erzberg. So
You're going to Erzberg? That kind
of takes a lot of money. Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm super excited. Yeah.
I want to go someday for sure.
Yeah. It's it was my gift to myself this year. So Jarvis is turning 50 this year, and his goal is to win again. So I was like, you know, like the stars are aligning, everything just worked out. So I just bought my ticket and I was like, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to go. And so it's kind of impulsive, but yeah, it was like a month ago that I was just like, I've been talking about it. So why not? So yeah. So this is my year to do that. So
that's so awesome. I'm
pretty excited.
That'll be so fun.
Not racing it. Just to clarify, I'm not attempting that. Maybe one day, but not this year. But yeah, it's going to be absolutely incredible. I can't wait. And I've got friends over there. I made friends with Radford Chug and his girlfriend last year.
Nice.
And then I've met like the Brightmoors and all of them. So I know a lot of people over there. So I'm super excited. And like you said, the hard enduro community is family. And even overseas, that doesn't change. It's been really cool to get to know people over there. You know, I met people at TKO last year and we've just kept in contact, and it's really awesome. So this podcast also helps too, because this podcast is in 22 countries now. So, you know, I know people all over the place now. People reach out and talk to me about it, and it's really cool.
Yeah, that's so awesome. That is so cool. Hopefully in the future I can figure out how to go to Erzberg. That would be so fun.
Yeah.
Even
that's really
just
great
to be there.
Just to experience the atmosphere and to see it in person. I feel like it's so epic on TV. You know, TV, it looks ridiculous. And so I can only imagine how small I'm going to feel actually out there, because it's insane. We all know that nothing ever looks as big as it really is on TV. So other than Erzberg, if you could race any race in the world, what would you race?
Any race in the world, I would probably, I'd say that I would try Romaniacs for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one seems also like pretty epic.
Yeah. That seems like super fun terrain, super steep. Dirt looks awesome, which it looks fun, you know. It's not, it doesn't look like all rock like Erzberg. It definitely, there's definitely still some rock, don't get me wrong, but looks way more like enjoyable on the riding aspect than Erzberg. Erzberg just is like a sprint through the rocks and up the Chundri Hills, and whereas Romaniacs is just like survival of the fittest in the mountains, you know? That's like, that seems like my thing.
Yeah, and it's more riding too, more riding days. So more
Definitely more
riding
of an
length and
experience.
more days. So, yeah, exactly. So awesome. I love that. Well, the last thing that I have for you is if you had just like 10 seconds to tell somebody the best advice you can give for somebody who's brand new on a dirt bike, what would it be?
That's a great question. I've never really thought about this. Someone just starting out, brand new to the sport, I would tell them
Brand new on a bike in general.
brand new on a bike. Wow. I would tell them to always look at it as something fun. Never look at it as something that's meant to be frustrating or like a source of like impulsive actions. I see way too many people get super frustrated with riding and racing, and I don't think that the person that built a motorcycle wanted people to get frustrated and overwhelmed and mad. So I think always keep it fun. That's the advice that I would give someone.
Awesome. I love that. That's definitely huge. And that goes for every level of riding, honestly, because I've seen like pros who lose their heart because they forget the fun. So once they find it again, it's like a whole new experience. So I love that. That's great. So then, what's your best advice for somebody who's brand new to hard enduro?
I would say take it slow. Learn important things like traction and body position rather than trying to just like go into it full bore. Traction is the main thing. Just focus on traction every time you go ride, where like less throttle is always more.
All
Definitely
right.
very
I like
important.
that. I could have used that advice like 2 weeks ago.
Spinning the tires is
Awesome.
not good.
So then, no, especially on rocks. That's how you end up jacking up your arm. So in our last couple minutes here, this is your time to give any shout outs or thank yous or whatever you want. It's your time.
First of all, thank you for inviting me on here. This was good conversation. I think that I like doing podcasts. It's fun.
Good. Well,
I think
hopefully
that
we
I've
can
learned
get you on
stuff from
more.
this. So yeah, this would be cool to do more eventually. Yeah. Just like to say thanks to everyone that's listening. Hopefully you guys learned something from this. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Yeah, this was just fun. Thanks to everyone that's helped me out the past few years, got me back healthy. I've definitely been pretty unfortunate, so just trying to keep my head up, and I've had a lot of people that have helped me do that. So yeah, thanks to all those people. If you're listening, cheers. And yeah, that's it.
Awesome. Well, thank you again so much. This is really, really cool. And I look forward to seeing you in like a week and a half for Battle of the Goats.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, for
All
sure.
right.
Should be a fun weekend.
Yes, it'll be great. I'll be broken, but it'll be great.
No.
All right, well, we'll talk to you then.
All right, thanks. Bye.
All right.